course of discussing movies, the host will spoil plots. You've been warned. Listen to their screams.
Greetings, ghouls and creeps, and welcome to Listen to Their Screams, a horror podcast that feels like you're chatting with friends. I am one of your friends, Dave. We're joined, as always, by our other friend, Ike. Ike, how are you?
Hey, not doing too shabby. Just having fun, living the dream. Found a funny little puppet the other day. Said his name is Pinocchio.
Yeah, it's always fun. So that is what we were reviewing this week, the movie Pinocchio Unstrung, which is in theaters now. Before we get there, Ike, did you watch anything else?
Let's see. I've been watching some Ghost Adventures, so I'm still watching that. Otherwise, honestly, I don't think I really watched much of anything. Oh, I did watch that Apple TV movie, The Gorge. I would say it's horror adjacent. Definitely more leans into the action-y side to it. Maybe more of a thriller, but it was still pretty good. It was a decent little flick. Had Anya Taylor-Joy and I can never remember the other guy's name. He's like Miles Teller. That's what it is. Miles Teller, isn't it?
Yeah, I think Monica watched that, but I haven't seen that. But all right, well then, no, I didn't watch anything horror related. Had a busy week. Had company. Had guests. So nothing for me. Anything I got to watch? It was pretty much Star Trek.
Yeah.
So all right then. Well, so much for the opening. Then let's pause. And when we come back, we'll have news, birthdays, and all that stuff. So stick around.
Make sure you subscribe to Listen to Their Screams on your favorite podcast platform. Also, make sure you look us up on social media. We're on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, Letterboxd, TikTok, and Slasher. All you have to do is look up Listen to Screams, that is Listen, the number two, and Screams, and you can find us there. Also, make sure you go and buy yourself a Listen to Their Screams t-shirt. You can find all of our shirts at tinyurl.com/screamsshirts.
Spreading the news. Spreading the news. Spreading the news.
And welcome back with the news. All right, starting us off at the top here, we have Evil Dead Burn coming to video on demand on August 4th. This is always good news. We always say it when this happens, but definitely we just are continually surprised by the turn to streaming and getting stuff on video on demand so quickly. And before we know it, it'll be on HBO, which I believe is where the other Evil Dead movie is. Yeah, very quick turnaround on this video on demand.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, everything's filmed digitally, so it's pretty much ready to go out of the gate for all formats. I mean, you know, pretty much regardless of where it is, it's already in the same format for the most part. Obviously, there's a little work for the physical, but I'm looking forward to it. We were kind of on the Evil Dead Burn. Maybe it was okay, but we had some qualms. But that always leads me to kind of look forward to giving a rewatch and see if on that second take, if I see it any differently.
That's what I was going to say. It's always good to have that second look at it. I mean, obviously, we had our qualms with it, but it's still, I mean, it was going to be, it was bound to be not as potentially good as the first Evil Dead Rise, right? Because, that was kind of like a really big return to basically what they used to be doing back in the day. It's like, oh, hey, this feels like Evil Dead. But this one obviously did, but I will want to rewatch it. I want to rewatch it. I want to also watch the end credits because for some reason I didn't stay for that. So yeah, I'll have to check that out too.
That's right.
But very good. So if you guys need something to watch here soon, there you go. That's a perfect option. And then and in some not so good news, we do have news that Chuck Russell passed away on July 22nd at the age of 74. He directed The Blob and Nightmare on Elm Street, Dream Warriors. Dream Warriors was the third movie. This is the one that everyone talks about when they talk about, like, wow, you want to talk about like a good sequel, a sequel that almost outdoes the original. And this is definitely one of the ones that really did that. And we have, Chuck in part to thank for that. So Definitely, a legend of the business, so he will definitely be missed.
Dream Warriors is my favorite of the Nightmares. I absolutely love it. So, that's it's what you know. It's wild. To me, if I were in the field and I got one, either a really successful or a cult movie or whatever, one movie that had some standard of success, I'd feel complete, right? I'd feel like, oh, everything else is just for fun then. And then I mean, here he's got two that he directed that are of that, kind of that legendary status. And you see that a lot with, a lot of the talent. It's like, they don't get just one role that's iconic or one movie, direct one movie that's iconic or something. It's multiple. And it always blows my mind, the level of talent of some of these guys. But so, it's unfortunate, people are always passing away. I hate having to report it, but it's kind of what we have to do. I mean, I hate talking about it because it bums me out, but we have to do it. And, we gotta pay our respects to Chuck Russell for Dream Warriors. I mean, if he gave me Dream Warriors, the man's just is, I don't even know what to say. Off the charts. He's an icon for giving me that movie that I love so much.
Yeah, no, absolutely. But all right. We will remember him fondly, and we will watch Dream Warriors in memoriam. But we're gonna go ahead and jump now to some upcoming birthdays. So we have some good ones here. August 2nd of 1939, we have Wes Craven, of course known for his role in creating Nightmare on Elm Street, Scream, as well as many, 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 many more. Wes Craven's a legend. Wes Craven is no longer with us, but he was fantastic. Truly just a revolutionary of horror, and even today his what he made is continuing to have huge, huge waves in the industry. So I mean, they're talking about rebooting Nightmare on Elm Street right now, so that's a huge, huge deal. And yeah, it's fantastic, and Wes Craven's amazing.
Yeah, I mean, again, Nightmare is such an unreal franchise. We've talked about, Freddy Krueger, kind of that one of that Holy Trinity that everybody knows. And again, if he had just developed that franchise, you're already like putting him on a Mount Rushmore of this guy's amazing. He created this unreal franchise and this iconic character and everything else. And then he comes back and just does it all over again with Scream. And there's another iconic franchise with yet another iconic killer, in it. Ghostface is probably up there in it. I mean, top 10, at least maybe top five of most recognizable guys, characters as well. So it's like, I marvel at it. It's not, hey, let's not do it once. Let's come back and do it again. And to a franchise that's still running, Scream's still running, Nightmare's getting ready to, like you said, be rebooted. So Wes Craven's always prevalent, his contributions. I mean, anytime you look at anything, Nightmare on Elm Street, anytime you're in a department store and you see something, Freddy Krueger, because it's there, it's everywhere, or Ghostface, it's always there. I mean, Ghostface is so merchandised, and it's everywhere. You just think that's Wes Craven, right? He had the part he had in that, and it's remarkable. I mean, we could talk forever about Wes Craven, but we'll keep it at that. I mean, horror would not be nearly as good without the contributions of Wes Craven.
I was gonna say, you have to think that like Scream sort of pioneered the concept of meta horror. Obviously Nightmare on Elm Street pioneered a lot as well, but specifically Scream in the 90s, I mean, I feel like that really launched that generation of horror movies. I feel like that, what do you think about 90s horror movies? Scream is like the 90s horror movie.
Yeah, I mean it is, right? It came out and everything tried to do it that way. Not necessarily, I'm saying with the kill, directly, but the style, that little bit of an edginess, the humor that's in it, the bringing it to that contemporary time period for people, right? I mean, I was there in '90. Screams. It's a slice of life of what '90s was like at that time, with the way these people acted and stuff. And no, I didn't endure it. A serial killer or anything like that, but it is it just it kind of it swerved the way horror went. I mean, we were going pretty much just slashers, straight slashers. There's obviously supernatural stuff that's always been there, and possession stuff and whatever, but and then he takes a slasher and just changes it, makes it, I hate the term elevated horror, but he did make
Mm-hmm.
horror a little smarter, right? He, and I don't mean that in a bad way. I'm just saying it's within it, the puzzle of who was the killer was such a major part of it. Not that that didn't happen before, but the way they did it in this, it was unreal. It's like they had this group cast at different times. You really believed it could be almost any one of them. And they, and the way he laid that out and the way he made the movie, and it was meta, and it was, I don't know. To me, there's handfuls of movies that have changed the course of horror, or at least you'll cause the branch off of horror, whatever it might be. And I think Scream's definitely one of them. I mean, it changed the direction. If people do believe in elevated, quote unquote, elevated horror, and some of the smart thinking man's horror of now, they've got Wes Craven and Scream to thank for that. He was the one that started that path. So, your Jordan Peeles and your guys that make those whatever you want to call them, I'm not using the phrase again, but those kind of horror movies that are a little, I don't know what to say. They're smarter or whatever you want to call it, but he started that path. They wouldn't be doing what they're doing without him.
No, absolutely. I mean, that is just an objective fact. So, we will remember Wes and we wish him a happy birthday, and we will move on to our next birthday for August. We have August 3rd, 1950. We have John Landis, of course, known for his help in creating American Werewolf in London. Obviously, being a part of that project, American Werewolf in London is a fantastic horror film. It's one of those ones where it really kind of it changed a little bit of what the original werewolf lore is. It's not, Wolfman. It's not, this, but it's kind of like more of a modern take on the werewolf concept. I say modern, this movie was made, years ago, but still, I mean, comparatively to what the Wolfman concept was from years and years and years ago, this was much, much different.
And to me, still to this day, the best werewolf transformation scene ever on film.
Yes, absolutely.
I don't think it, I don't know if it'll ever be undone. I don't even know how to describe it, man. It's disturbing. It makes you think, but it's almost like you're watching it and you're like, it's almost like they made it say, okay, if this is A, it's turning to B. We have to try to make it make sense between the two. Of how's it going to transform to that, right? What's moving? What's changing? And the way they did it, yes, you have to, there's a little bit of reality release, but it's almost like you watch it and you're like, okay, yeah, if it was a real thing, that's probably what it is going to be. And again, I mean, it's my favorite, probably my favorite werewolf movie. I don't know. I've got a couple others that are up there, but one of, if not the my favorite. And again, my favorite werewolf transformation scene ever, and I don't think it'll ever be topped.
No, absolutely. I would definitely agree. I remember I had not watched this movie for so it was either I couldn't remember if I had watched it, but like I couldn't remember the movie. So I remember we were having a conversation one day, and you're like, "Hey, you should watch this." And I was like, "Yeah, I'll give it a shot." So I give it a shot, and I'm just like, "Oh, holy shit!" And then obviously that werewolf scene where he transforms was just absolutely, I mean, it was disgusting, but it was great. It was amazing. So, but I do very distinctly remember that. And I remember our conversation about that afterwards.
Yeah, it might be the best transformation scene of any sort. The only one that I can think of that jumps to mind that has affected me in the same way is it was the one from The Fly with Jeff Goldblum and him transforming. That was the same level to me. So just unreal, great work. And John Landis, the man that helped bring it to life.
Yeah, absolutely. All right, there's one more birthday. We have August 5th. We have our very own David Odyssey on the birthday train. Yeah, I mean that's exciting. I mean,
That bum.
that bum. No, you bum. No, it's fun because anytime our birthdays come up, it's always like another year older, but is it another year wiser?
Nah, I don't feel wiser.
I've not learned a goddamn thing.
I definitely feel older, but No, man, my mentality, I don't know. My life, it's if you go back through my life, like when I was a teenager or even a preteen and on up, the things that I loved, they haven't changed. They're still here. You know, it's still horror movies and rock music and just, well, I mean, movies in general. And, you know, sci-fi and toys and cartoons. I mean, it's all the same shit. It's none of this changed. I might have developed, you know, or might have discovered new things within that, you know, and along the way of, oh, a new cartoon or, oh, a new movie. But the things I loved then, I still love now. So yeah, I don't know. There is definitely, you know, more wisdom from you know, Dave now than there was when Dave when he was 15. On top of that, and of course Dave now over Dave 15 has a little more money to pursue those logs. But otherwise, you know, I don't know. You gotta have fun in life.
That's right.
I can't. It drives me mad when I see people or hear people, and they just don't seem to have like a hobby of any sort. And I don't care what it is. I don't care what you know, whatever your passion is. I'm always like, what do you do with your time? I mean, what? It's like what are you just waiting to die? It's like you gotta have something you like to do. You know, crossword puzzles or knitting or fishing. I don't care. Just something with your downtime that you'd like to do to get away and or enjoy or, but I see people that don't have those, you know, don't have a hobby. And I'm like, I don't understand how you function without that passion for something. Like, I don't know what do you do with your time?
See,
Work, eat, sleep, shit, and die. I mean, what else is there? I mean,
I had a
goddamn,
guy.
mix something in there.
I had a guy I worked with. No joke. I asked him one time. It was at the call center I used to work at, or that I work at, I guess now. Well, I guess it's a different call center. Anyways, the place that I used to work at, I used to work in office, and there was a guy I used to talk to occasionally, and I'd be like, hey, what do how you doing? How was your weekend? Blah blah. Just normal stuff. And one day I decided to ask him. I was just kidding. I talked to him probably, every couple days or so. I was like, hey, I was like, what do you watch movies or anything? I was like, are you interested in like horror movies? He's like, no, not really. I was like, do you watch like TV shows? I was like, you got like Netflix? You watch like local cable access? Or no, not really. Do you read? Do you read books, comic books? No, not really. I was like, what, do you do anything? Like, what do you do outside of the confines of work? And he's like, I mow my grass. Bro, that's not a hobby.
I'd have totally looked at him and been like, I don't know how to talk to you. I
That's
don't know. I
literally
mean,
how it was. I was like, okay, well, when did you mow your grass last, I guess?
I'm like, I have lots of varied interests and I can hold conversations with other people that have other interests if I, you know, because I'll ask questions about it, you know, and be curious about it. And again, I don't care what, you know, a person's passion is. I respect that and I can hear people talk, you know, talk to people about it or, you know, hear them talk about it or whatever. But I don't understand. It's like, what do you do?
That's what I'm saying. I was literally confused. I was like, do you just do nothing? Like, and then he told me to cut the grass. I'm like, listen, I'd rather skin myself sometimes than cut my grass, but I do it. I'm not doing
So
that for fun.
does he cut his grass every day? I mean, because I always conceptually think, how do you even fill your time if you don't have something? I mean, what are you doing? You just sit in a chair and stare off into nothing? Or, I mean, it's like, what do you even do? I mean, even just watching TV, that, you know, to me is a hobby, right? If that's how you pass your time, right? That's how you like to unwind and relax. I love, I, because I do that too, right? Sometimes I watch certain things, but sometimes you just sit down and you just turn on some random shit or just turn on network TV just not to think, just to go with the flow of it. But people that aren't into that, or I don't understand. I know we've rambled about this, and I'm not even sure how we got onto this. Oh, my birthday. But I don't understand. I don't understand people that don't have something they're passionate about, and I feel bad for those people, really, because I don't know, man. I have lots of things I'm passionate about, and it's to me, it's just such a great thing because it's cool when you're out. If you're just whatever shopping or just out doing something and you happen upon something related to your passion, right? Because like with horror movies, you know, if you're just out and about, you could be doing something completely, you know, it could be grocery shopping and you happen upon, you pass somebody with a shirt on or something. You're like, there it is. It's just when you encounter that stuff, it's that little boost, man, that gives you some energy to be that just stupid stuff like that. I don't understand how people don't have that.
I don't either. There's all, like I said, there's a lot of stuff that I watch, I consume. You know, it's just like I have so much stuff that I could talk to other people about if I struck up a conversation, but.
It's been a few weeks now, but I was in the grocery store, I think. Well, anyway, some store, Walmart or grocery or something like that, right? I was getting some things. And it was just me. Monica was at home. She was doing something tonight, so I ran to get it, the stuff for her. And I'm walking through, and I walk up the aisle, and I pass a guy who's, swear to God, had to be in his 80s. But he was wearing a St. Louis Cardinals hat. And I'm like, I'm in Pensacola, Florida, and this dude's wearing a St. Louis Cardinals hat. And I said, sir, I said, I assume you're a Cardinals fan. He said, hell yes, my entire life. And we just started talking. He was rambling off about guys that I'd heard of and read about. And I was talking about stuff. We were talking about the modern team and what we thought of it. He was very knowledgeable, obviously watched regularly. I don't know this guy's name. I didn't ask him. Don't know. But we sat there, I bet, 15, 20 minutes and talked about the St. Louis Cardinals, all because he had that hat on. And I don't know what it did for him, but it kind of made my day, right? I enjoyed it. It's like a club. You encounter a complete stranger that is into something that you like, and it's like your friends. You don't There doesn't need to be a lot. I don't need to know you. I don't need to have spend time with you. I see your hat. You're a Cardinals fan. I'm a Cardinals fan. Dude, we're brothers. I see you're wearing a Terrifier shirt. I love Terrifier. We're brother. It's like I can instantly strike up a conversation for hours with that person without knowing them based on one thing. And I don't know. I guess I feel bad for people that don't have that. That I don't know, it's a whimsy of life that I don't know. I could ramble about this shit all the time, and I'm sure there's psychological stuff and whatever.
Oh yeah, definitely there is.
I just want people to be happy. And I don't want people to just all their be with their life is just work and sleep. It's like I want everybody to have a little something they enjoy. And again, it doesn't have to be anything major. It can be just as simple as whatever, watching TV or whatever it may be. It doesn't have to be, but I want everybody to have something. So I feel bad for people that don't. And I think they need
Right.
to look a little harder to figure out. I don't know. I don't want to dissect people because I'm just not my field, but. Yeah, I got a birthday coming up. There we go. We're back to that. I just got all philosophical for about my birthday. It's not even here yet, but anyway.
Happens. It happens to the best of us. But all right, that does it for our birthdays. We're gonna jump right into anniversaries, and there's a bunch of these, so we're trying to roll through these here. July 30th, 1999, we have the progenitor of the modern found footage. I had to say modern found footage genre. We have the Blair Witch Project. This film obviously started this down the path of the modern found footage, everything from Paranormal Activity to As Above, So Below, and many, many more. It all started with Blair Witch. And they're remaking the Blair Witch. So obviously it's still in the public zeitgeist of some sort.
Yeah, again, I don't want to. We're not going to spend a lot of time. We've talked a lot. But anyway, yeah, Blair Witch, we talked about Scream. Certain movies change a course. Blair Witch, I don't know if I don't want to say it changed course, but it started a branch, right?
It
It was
did.
definitely groundbreaking, definitely created something. I don't even want to say new because it had existed, but it perfected it
It
and
did.
everything else. And we've had a plethora of movies since then. I think it's all because of this. So it's an important movie.
I always like to say that back in the day, you had things like I think it was Cannibal Holocaust is one of the is
Yep.
credited as being like one of the very first found footage movies. It was from like the 70s, I think, like 1978.
Yeah.
But then you have this movie that took that concept, modernized it, and really just proliferated it. So it's one of those concepts of they didn't do it first, but they certainly did it best.
I'm telling you,
And
if you're around in 1999 and relevant or whatever I'm trying to say, if you were around and aware, it was a phenomenon, it was a thing. And if anybody that tells you that at some point when this first came out and first got to talk about it, if they try to tell you they did not believe it was real, they're lying. I'm telling you they're lying because I was there. It was portrayed as real And to the point where, and I think we've talked about this before, because I feel like I'm saying the same thing that I've said before. But mainstream media picked it up and portrayed it and talked about it like it was real found footage. They hid out the, I mean, it was, there was this process, I guess, they had to it. But at least for a while, everybody believed it was real. Now, and they got to the point where obviously it wasn't, and the actors came out with, people saw the actor, whatever it may be. But if somebody tells you, who was old enough at that time to know, that they did not believe it was a real thing, they're lying. Because everybody believed, at least for a moment, that, hey, this is fucking weird. This is something. What the fuck have they found?
Well, and the damnedest thing about it too is even in today's day and age, like people make like, so I'm really into watching video essays on YouTube. So like people talking about things, and it's like a video essay. It's like a small mini documentary. And I've seen so many people talk about and discuss and break down the Blair Witch movie and how impactful its marketing strategy was, that it was unlike anything that we'd ever seen before. And that part of the reason why it was so popular and how it did so well was because of the marketing strategy. The marketing of that movie was just absolutely, it was fucking insane. I mean,
It was weird. It was different because, like, now I feel like everybody now is a skeptic. Right, everybody,
yes.
you see anything out there, everybody thinks that's not real, it's fake, it's AI, it's doctored, it's whatever, right? For good, bad, or indifferent, so much as we're all skeptical of nowadays because it is what it is. Back then, I don't feel like it was like that when media said, well, there's this and this is what it is, you thought, shit, what the hell is that? And then you it wouldn't you it's not like you could just pull out your phone and look up stuff and say, oh, well, let me try to find this actor. You couldn't do that. So what you saw on the news or read in magazines or in the newspapers, whatnot, that's where you were trying to divulge your information. And then, eventually, yeah, it ends up probably coming around and someone finds out, but they can kind of keep up that deception a little longer than they definitely can now, because you couldn't do this now. I mean, you just couldn't. People would, whatever, image search on Google so much and find every actor's graduation picture or something and say, oh, where they are. They're not, that's not who they are. It would be so impossible now. That's why, but when you say something's impossible, that's, you got to come up with something different and change the rules a little bit. But, and I feel like, Blair Witch did. It did so much as a film, as, the release, the marketing, the buzz. It was different, unique, and wild. And now obviously we've seen this shit dozens of times. We've seen this kind of stuff, and so people may not see it in the same context of, right? It's like, oh, it's found footage. We've got millions of found footage. Yeah, but it was before these other millions. I mean, it was one of the ones that. So you have to have context, even if you don't like the movie. Or it doesn't stand up, or there's other found footage films you think are better. Okay, that's fine. But take it into context for what it is and when it came out. Whether you like it or not, it's still a very, very important film in horror history.
Well, I'm going to add to that because you're talking about how it was like the early days of the internet and everything else. Like, this movie came out at the perfect time, and it had the perfect marketing strategy because, like you said, there really was no like high speed internet. It was dial up. The information was there. There was the World Wide Web, but it was slow.
Yeah,
And
and not
because it
everybody
was
had
slow,
it.
exactly, not everybody had it. So you're either reading stuff in magazines, which the magazines were keeping up with the quote unquote kayfabe of the time. And then you had the news outlets who were kind of in the dark, so they're unintentionally playing into it. And then finally you have like these websites, right, that are marketing tools from the production company that are like listing all this weird stuff and oh, we found these tapes, here's the evidence, blah, blah, blah. And nowadays, if someone did that, you would know that as a marketing strategy.
Yes.
But back then, like, you didn't know that. You did not know that this was a marketing strategy. You just thought that these people really did die in the woods, and like we just happened to find their shit somewhere. So, but anyways, I could ramble all day about Blair Witch. It's so great.
It's there's a lot of cultural impact for the movie.
It is. So, all right. We're going to keep rolling here. July 31st, 1987. We have The Lost Boys.
Yeah.
Obviously great. This is one of Dave's faves. He obviously is a huge Lost Boy fan. And we actually got to go to a Lost Boy panel at Pensacon this past February, March,
Okay.
whenever it happened.
Best vampire movie of all time. I'll die on that hill. I like vampires. I've seen lots of other good to great. Lost Boys is the best. It's so good. If you haven't seen Lost Boys, I don't know what you're doing. I don't even know why you're listening, because it's like, come on. No, I joke. I joke. But even if you're not into vampires, you don't think right. And a lot of people say, oh, it's 1987. It's like, man, it's not. It's this is a unique film. And it's a very,
It
very special film. And it's just so damn good all the way through. I mean, it's everything. Just it's got, I don't know. I could talk about Lost Boys forever, but it is a absolutely superb film that everybody should see.
Absolutely. I do agree with that. It's a great vampire movie, so if you've never seen it, I would highly recommend watching it. But all right. Jumping to July 31st of 2009, we have The Collector. I often say it, but I do believe that The Collector is a underrated 2000s horror film. Its sequel, The Collection, is also really good. And I love both the films, but and there's also rumors and rumblings and discussions with the original creator, who claims that there is another movie in the works. So that'll be interesting to see if they can get that rolling. But I love both these movies.
Yeah, it seems like we heard that quite a while back. It's been kind of quiet, right? It was going to be called like the Collected or something like that, or
The Collector, The Collection, The Collected.
and I hope they do, right? I hope they get to make this. Yeah, we've talked about this. It's come up several times in various ways, and yeah, these movies I think are very underappreciated. I don't. It's I It boggles my mind that people don't talk more about them, because I don't know. They're really, really good, and I don't know. Maybe I'm just missing the collector buzz online. I'm not encountering it. But I come across people talking about all kinds of movies and underappreciated movies, and this one just doesn't seem to get the same love. I don't know what that is.
Honestly, I feel like part of it has to be the fact that it was pretty much an unknown movie. I mean, you ask anybody, hey, have you seen the movie The Collector? They're gonna be like, what? No, probably not. And I mean, that's not a bad thing per se. It's just that's just how it is. I mean, the
I
movie was
feel.
just super unmarketed.
I feel like we need to develop a hashtag to whatever. I don't know. We need to try to get some viral support going for the collector, and I don't know. It needs more eyes.
No, I 100% agree. I've always said that The Collector and the Collection are both just really good, just psychological horror movies. I mean, it's more than just being a psychological horror movie, of course. But it to me, it's like the perfect mixture of like what Jigsaw was trying to be in like Saw, and not trying to rationalize his evilness, right? I feel like that's one of the big drawbacks of that character of John Kramer, is that he thinks that he's doing the right thing, right? He thinks he's doing a good service. The Collector is just evil, right? He's a sociopath, and he knows this, but playing into that is just so such a better approach for that kind of a movie, in my opinion.
I'd love to talk to the creator or creators and see if are there is there legal stuff that kind of, because I really feel like this is one of those that this is prime time to do that third movie, and I mean, it's I could absolutely see collector action figures and shirts and stuff alongside all these others that are out there. We see a little bit of everything, like with the figures and the Toonie Terrors and Nika and all that stuff. We see figures from every franchise. I could completely, and maybe I don't know if they've made any. Maybe they have made some. I'm not aware. Maybe I missed it. But I could totally see collector figures hanging right there with them. And it fits. It's just, I don't know. Curious. I'm gonna have to go down a collector rabbit hole and see what I can see.
No, absolutely. And I agree. I think that that's a very marketable character, especially his mask. That mask is just so disturbing.
Oh
But
well.
We'll see. We'll see what happens. We'll see what comes of it, and eventually we might get something from that franchise. Well, but we'll wait and see. But until then, we're going to move on to August 1st of 1986. We have Friday the 13th, Part 6, Jason Lives. Part 6 is great. This is, of course, the third of the Tommy Jarvis movies, where he incidentally and accidentally brings back Jason Voorhees by stabbing him in the chest and him getting struck by lightning. So yeah, I mean, it's fantastic. I love the love 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 the this film specifically. I love the Tommy Jarvis movies minus five, but this one's especially good in my opinion.
Yeah, it is. It's funny, right? It's a good little stretch they got, around it, starting with six on, the next few movies. It's pretty fun. But yeah, I mean, again, I think this is one of those movies that a lot of people think of when they think Jason. It jumps out for people. I don't know, it's kind of having that heart of the franchise, the visually and story-wise, it kind of fits what people know about Friday the 13th. So I think a lot of people think of this movie when they think of Jason and Friday the 13th. I think it's one of the standards. So, but everybody
I
needs to
agree.
remember, he does take Manhattan, and that's when it peaks. I'm sorry, I have to bring it up. Wait, I mean, just come on, it's my movie. It's my favorite Friday the 13th.
I do like Jason Takes Manhattan. That's a good one.
I do too, but
But
Jason Lives is good as well. It's fun, and
very much so.
Manhattan had its moment. Its anniversary was a week or two ago, so we'll let Jason Lives have this one.
But very good. And we're gonna move on to August 2nd of 1985, Fright Night.
Oh, great movie.
I think I've seen it before. It's been a while though, but it's a good one.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure if I recall correctly.
Yeah, great movie. Everybody needs to watch it. I believe it was remade, I think. I can't remember. Something makes me think they did a remake. I don't know. But watch the 85 one. It's a great movie.
Very good. And then our last but not least of our upcoming movie anniversaries is August 5th of 1998, Halloween H2O. Yeah, great movie. I think that the Halloween H2O series and that little jaunt is sort of a perfect encapsulation of late 90s, early 2000 horror. Just a very just fun movie, and just super great.
Yeah.
One of my favorite things about this movie is that they really kind of play into like that late 90s, early 2000s like culture. So the hair is just so great.
Totally. And it's got LL Cool J, so what else? I mean, come on. And
Right, for real.
he's writing erotic fiction.
He is,
So
man.
fun. But yeah, again, we talk underappreciated movies. I will always say H2O is probably one of the most underappreciated Halloween movies. I love it. I think it's great. When I do my Halloween rewatch each fall, I look forward to this one. It's just to
Yes.
me, it's just fun. It's such an easy watch. And and it takes a lot of the cool stuff from the Halloween franchise and kicks it up a notch. And just I think it's a good story. I don't know. I love it. And again, I don't know. I don't hear people talking about it as much when you talk about the Halloween movie. So, hashtag H2O. Get it
Absolutely.
moving. Get it going, people.
No kidding. I would love for them to make like another movie in the H2O universe, but like Jamie Lee can be dead, but like bring back her son. I feel like that'd be really cool.
Yeah.
But we'll see. We'll see what happens.
Only if he has that same haircut, though.
Yeah, 100%. Gotta have the
It
same
needs to
haircut.
stick with it. Just you can't change that.
But all right, that does it for our anniversaries. We have one upcoming release. We have Soulmate coming to video on demand August 1st, and it is described as a man acquires an AI android to cope with the loss of his recently deceased wife. In an attempt to create a truly sentient partner, he inadvertently turns a harmless love bot into a deadly soulmate. And we will be reading this movie next episode. This is, of course, a spin-off of the Megan universe, and this was shelved for a very long time, never saw a theatrical run, and they happened to say, let's put it out on video on demand, because why not? Fuck it. And Yeah, I think this will be fun. I'm hoping that we get more Megan 1 vibes than Megan 2 vibes. The way that this sounds, this kind of seems like that other movie. What is it? It's like the one with
Oh yeah, what was that called? Companion?
with Companion. Yep, it kind of seems like
Yeah.
a Companion-esque movie, mixed with a little bit of Obsession. But we'll see what happens when this comes out. But I'm excited. I'm always down for a good video on demand release.
Yeah, me too. And again, the only reason I didn't see the light of day that we know of is because of Megan 2. We're not going to talk about that. If you want to hear us talk about that, go to the archives. But oof. And so, I guess the studio got whatever cold feet, and I don't know. I don't think it's necessarily a reflection on the movie itself, just of the franchise as a whole at that time. They thought it was done. And so yeah, whatever. Good or bad, we're gonna get to watch it and see what we think of it. And I'm gonna go into this with open eyes. I'm not gonna go into it judging it from either Megan movie. I'm just gonna say, pretend this is its own movie. If it ties in, so be it. But I'm gonna try to give it its own legs, this either stand up or fall down, and see how it is. And we'll talk about that next episode.
Yeah, absolutely. But all right, that pretty much does it for all of our news, birthdays, anniversaries, and releases. We are going to take a quick break, but when we come back, we will have our official review of Pinocchio Unstrung. Stick around.
This is Wrestling Nostalgia, the podcast that dives into wrestling history. Hey, wrestling fans, I'm Dave Dynasty. And if you enjoy podcasts that are knowledgeable and history-driven, then Wrestling Nostalgia is for you. With great guests and fun interviews, there are over 200 episodes in our archives. We chat with several first-time guests and often cover topics not discussed on other podcasts. Look up Wrestling Nostalgia on your favorite podcast platform and visit all of our links at linktree.com/WrasslePod. That is linktr.ee/RASSLEPOD. And remember, wherever you go, whatever you do, be good, be safe, and keep on growing.
Okay, we're back here on Listen to the Screams. We are reviewing Pinocchio Unstrung, the latest installment in the Twisted, what is it, the Twisted Childhood Universe?
Yeah,
Or
Twisted
what,
Childhood Universe or something
or
like that.
yeah, or what we'd lovingly call the Pooniverse.
Universe.
That's right. It was written and directed by Rhys Frake Waterfield, starring Richard Brake, Robert Englund, and others. Released in theaters on July 24th, and it grossed $386,467 domestically on opening weekend, which was good for number 15. I wouldn't get too alarmed by that number because I'm assuming it was probably a very limited theatrical release. I don't see this getting some big widespread release, but this movie, it's going to be one of those movies for you as a viewer. If you have seen the other movies in this universe, the Blood and Honeys, the Bambi Reckoning, whatever else it was, whether Peter Pan one, Neverland or whatever it was called. Yeah, if you've seen those, if you enjoyed those, you're going to enjoy this. If you saw those and you hated those for whatever reason, whether you are like Monica and you don't think those characters should be in these positions, whatever it might be, you're probably not going to like this one either.
No.
But I did enjoy this movie. I didn't think it was the best story of any of them. I can't remember which one it was we talked about. I'm sure, but was it the Bambi one that we thought had a really smooth story about it?
It
I can't
did.
remember what. Yeah, this one, it's not bad. Okay, it's not a bad story. It's not, they didn't have to force it too much, but it's not quite as smooth story wise. Now, if you like your horror and you're looking for the kills, man, this is your movie,
Oh.
because lots of kills, lots of blood, lots of gore. They ramped it up. They did it, Great cast. Fucking Robert Englund was great as the voice of Jiminy Cricket. Richard Brake, I enjoyed him. He was in an episode of Supernatural, and so I knew him from that. That's pretty much it. But
Oh yeah, he's the immortal guy, right?
yeah,
That
the
has
immortal
like
guy. Uh-huh.
has something, right?
Yeah, and so I enjoyed seeing him in this. I liked the movie because I like these movies. I think they're fun because I don't look at these movies with any seriousness. Man, I just like the fucking thought that Pinocchio and Jiminy Cricket are fucking killing people. It's just funny to me, and it's fun, and it's, and I don't know, it's still to me, it harkens, I know everybody sees that they think of the Disney versions of this stuff, but to me, this goes more back to the Grimm, the fairy tales, and all that. It takes it and takes those and gives it the modern oomph to it. It's just bypassing all that other stuff. It's just because it's gotten to come, this is not the Disney version, right? That's not what it's intended to be. Not, and I love the Disney movie, right? I love Pinocchio, the Disney Pinocchio. But I can look at that one and this one and put them in two different realms. Say they're two different things. And I don't see them as competing or anything, right? I don't see, we have to have one or the other, if that's your thing.
Right.
Talking to you, Monica. But anyway,
Yeah,
I like the movie. I thought it was fun. I like, the kills. I loved how he got started with the kills, really. It was just so circumstantial that it just started happening, and it was like, oh, that's kind of funny, but then it went a little, went a little cuckoo. The I don't, the backstory of it is, it was okay. You saw where it was kind of going with a little bit of it. I knew what was, they were going to end up kind of saying in the end, because they planted those seeds pretty damn heavy and early in the movie. And the story of how they, with Pinocchio, again, I'm not super familiar with the old source material, so I don't know if any of this is part of Pinocchio lore or whatever you want to call it. It was okay. It wasn't bad. They tried to give it a some. I know this sounds weird when you're talking about this movie or these types of movies. They tried to give it a somewhat sensical explanation, right, of why he was a living puppet. They tried to give, obviously there was a supernatural aspect or whatever you want to call it to it, but they tried to just. They didn't go with the, oh, I carved this puppet and I wish that, oh, 'cause I wanted a little boy and it came to life. They didn't have Tinkerbell on this one. But anyway, that's all to say, this, the story, yeah, it probably could have used a little fine tuning, a little whatever, a little difference here and there. But let's be real. Who's coming to watch Pinocchio purely for the story? Nah. You're watching the effects, you're watching the irony of seeing Pinocchio do his thing and Jiminy Cricket do his thing, and you're watching for the kills. Those are the highlights. And this movie didn't disappoint in that realm. I thought it was a fun movie. I enjoyed it because, again, I like these movies. I don't think it was, again, one of the best of the franchise so far, but I do think it's probably right in the middle of the pack. I don't think it was by near the worst. They are definitely. You can tell they're growing, they're learning, and you can tell that they're making some money back to invest in these things as you watch them develop, because there are things that are clearly, the quality is definitely improving as they do more and more of these. So you, it's that's kind of cool to me also. If you go from Pinocchio or excuse me, Winnie the Pooh Blood and Honey, the first one, to this, you can see kind of that growth curve with them as movie makers, and that's, it's pretty fun, it's pretty cool. So anyway, fun movie. I enjoyed it because, again, I love these damn twisted universe, twisted childhood universe, or whatever they're called. I love them. They're so much fun for me. So, Ike, what'd you think of Pinocchio Unstrung?
Oh man, I mean, the long short of it is I did love it. I think that they did a really, really, really good job. I do also, there was a little, before I get into the actual movie, I'm not sure if you noticed that there was a little nod to, I don't know if you said this, but Winnie the Pooh Blood and Honey. He was listening to the soundtrack, one of the
Yes.
people. He was listening
Yes.
to the soundtrack of the first movie, which canonically is a movie in the universe that was
That's
made
right.
about the events of the what actually happened with the guy from the second movie,
Yeah. Yeah,
which is all kinds of fucky, but
they kind of, retcon the perspective of the first movie and the second movie. But I did see that and I forgot about that. Yeah, good callback.
I thought that was really funny, and it honestly kind of just adds to the whole like. Yeah, this is like a whole interconnected universe and everything else. No, yeah, that was one thing I wanted to mention before I get too far into my conversation, because I knew I would forget about it as soon as I started talking. So back to the actual concept of whether I like the movie. I love the movie. Movie was good. I do think this movie was heavy on the gore and the kills, necessarily. I think that it was a necessary addition to the whole story and lore. Obviously, the idea that, this is not the first puppet, right? That was a cool little addition to the story that they really dive into. I won't say any more than that because it could be considered a spoiler. And then, of course, you had a lot of really great performances by, Richard Brake and Robert Englund, both of which did very good with their characters. And honestly, I would love to see Richard Brake be like Freddy Krueger. I feel like he could do a Freddy Krueger.
Yeah.
I love that. I love their acting. Even the kids did great. I think the kids did a superb job at doing this. Like they did a really, really, really good job. I feel like you sometimes you get those kid actors in there and they really don't know what they're doing. And their acting could be a little hokey, and that's just part of it, right? That's just part of like low budget, films. And it's not like this was a huge multi-million dollar production with George Lucas at the helm trying to get kids to do things. Like, no, like this is a low budget production trying to find kids who can act but also not be hokey. That one kid who was like the friend of the main character was kind of funny.
Yeah.
It was just overall it was a fun movie. The only drawbacks I really saw is that the story had some holes. I think that the killing was, like you said, very circumstantial, right? At first, but then it sort of devolved and it kind of calls into question a couple of things about how things proceeded throughout the rest of the film. Like, why are you suddenly doing a 180 about X or Y? But I think that you kind of have to turn your brain off for stuff like this. And that would really be what I would say is like, you kind of have to turn your brain off a little bit. Don't think too hard about it. Don't pull a brain muscle because it's fun. And I think that's the big ultimate here is that this is just a fun, enjoyable movie that you don't necessarily have to think super hard about. You just have to kind of look at it and say, okay, this is what this character's doing. Just enjoy it. You don't have to look for the deeper intentions. This isn't a Project Hail Mary that needs to be dissected at every turn. This is just a Pinocchio's killing people. Enjoy
It
it.
is. It is. By the way, Project Hail Mary is a phenomenal movie. But
I actually I did watch Project Hail Mary, weirdly enough, but
no
that's a
good.
whole other thing.
Did you cry? I cried.
I did. There was a couple parts where I was like, oh
It
God,
is.
here we go.
Oh, yeah. All right. Anyway, Pinocchio Unstrung. Again, it's cut and dry to me. If you've liked the other movies, you're gonna like this one. If not, you're probably not gonna like it. I don't think this one's gonna turn anybody on the product. But I'm so glad they're making these movies for those of us, for whatever reason, in our little twisted childhood minds, that love these movies. And I absolutely do. This was a fun movie. But again, not redefining anything, right? It's they got a formula, and they're making it work. So if I'm rating this thing, though, I have to give it a 3.5 out of 5. I can't just go middle of the ground 3 because it's to me it's funner than that. But I can't quite go 4 because again there were a few holes and it's again it's not redefining their genre here. So I'm gonna give it a 3.5 out of 5 screams. Ike, what about you?
Absolutely. 3.5 out of 5 screams is a perfect one for this one. It's not middle of the road. It's a little bit above and beyond middle of the road. I do not think that is the best of the our childhood tales turned horror, but it is up there. I still need to watch the Peter Pan ones, like Neverland Nightmare or something like that.
Yeah,
I know it's on Peacock, but
I can't remember if I've watched that or not. I don't know.
I know for sure I haven't, but I remember we talked about it because we're like, hey, it's finally on streaming.
Yeah.
I think Blood and Honey 2 is still my favorite of all these,
Yeah,
but this one
I thought the Bambi was Reckoning was very good too.
I would put that up there too. The Bambi is definitely better than this one, and we watched like a pre-release version of it, which
Yeah.
was not
Oh,
fully
it's true. Yeah,
complete,
it's true. Yeah.
but we need to
Yeah.
watch the full version still.
Right. Yeah, I need somebody put I need a checklist. I need to make sure I've watched everything. Yeah, I'm gonna have to search it. I'm sure somebody's done that online. So all right then. So again, for those of you who like us or are a little loony for these Puniverse movies, or just I just absolutely just dig the what am I trying to say? The what is it we call these? God dang it, why can't I not think of that the phrase? The public domain horror, that's what I'm trying to think of.
Yeah,
Well,
public domain here. There you go.
it's like I had to wait to just vomit that out. I couldn't think of it for some reason. I like all that kind of stuff. It's just fun to me to see, for lack of a better word, these ironic situations of these characters that you're used to seeing in one vein, in another. I find that fun. I find it amusing, and I don't get caught up in it. You know, whether it's believable or whether it's good or whether it's sacrilegious or I don't know. I just, it's fun, right? It's fun to see these characters kill people. That might be a reflection on me. So be it. I don't care. Yeah,
It
that's all right. I don't care. But next episode, I don't know what to think. Like we said, we are reviewing Soulmate. This will be one of those that'll be very curious to see what we have to say because I don't know what to think of this. It's, I don't know. It at one time was a very hot upcoming release and has now been delegated to a way after the fact digital release. So that it's curious. So check us out next episode to see what we think of Soulmate within the Megan universe. But thank you to our wives for all of your support in what we do. And then also to you listeners and followers for everything you do as well. Be sure to subscribe to us on social media. We're on pretty much any platform. Just search for Listen to Their Screams or Listen the Number Two and Screams, excuse me. Or, and make sure you also subscribe to us on your favorite podcast platform. Getting a little tied up here at the end. Do those things, right? Just find us on social media, find us on a podcast platform, follow us and subscribe. There you have it. Done, easy. Share the love of the collector and share the love of Halloween H2O and share the love of the Twisted Childhood Universe movies. That's all your homeworks for today. So before we close out, Ike, anything else you want to add?
Oh man, let's see. I listened to a new podcast the other day. I wanted to share it on here just because it was really funny. It's called Radio Rental.
Okay.
So it's a podcast, and they tell like real life like horror stories, like stuff that's happened to real people, and specifically they do it in the format of like a hey, you know, I work at a video store and I'm putting tapes into a videotape. And then the videotape is like talking about like the story, but it's like really cool. It's like an 80s video store, real life horror stories. But it's called Radio Rental. It's really neat. But I was listening to it yesterday as I was mowing the grass, weirdly enough. So I just wanted to bring
There you
that
go.
up.
All right. So Radio Rental, everybody go give that a check. Free plug for you, those guys. And go check out, right? You can lots of other podcasts support us. We want to give the love back. Well, I'll pull together some names. You've heard them here. They've given us thanks and stuff, but we'll give a few shout outs to some of their guys. I'll have
Oh,
to look up their names and remember, but we all support each other within the horror podcasting world. So, all right. I guess that's it. See, that's another reason why you should subscribe to us. On your podcast platform and give us a rating and review because you get algorithms that will help you uncover some of these other horror podcasts.
true.
So there you go. All right, that's it. I'm rambling on now for some reason. That's all for this episode. But until next episode, wherever you go and whatever you do, be good, be safe, and have many pleasant nightmares.